Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. That is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, and in a moment you'll see why we're starting a sermon on 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30 with Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, but I'd like to begin by letting those verses sink in a bit. Spend a few moments digesting them. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. To glory in is to boast, to exult, to brag. So the message is for the wise not to boast in their wisdom, the mighty not to boast in their might, and the rich not to boast in their riches. Rather, let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows God. And I think if you're sensitive to the feel of the ideas there, you experience a bit of a flinch at that point. Cognitive dissonance at the idea of boasting about knowing God. Wisdom, strength, riches, they all sync with boasting. We may be a little more subtle than, I'm so rich, look at how rich I am, or I'm so strong, look at how strong I am. We may be a little more subtle than that, but not much. In the there's no big mystery about it. Wisdom, strength, riches, what's not to like? Who wouldn't rather have more money than less? Who wouldn't rather be stronger than weaker? Who wouldn't rather be smarter than dumber? In the horizontal realm of earthly existence, those capacities are transparently desirable, and we're all human enough to understand the impulse to brag. If you got it, flaunt it. In the worldly human realm, it makes perfect sense for the wise to boast in their wisdom, the strong to boast in their strength, and the rich to boast in their riches. But if you bring God into the picture, if you go vertical rather than horizontal, the dynamic changes. Other factors enter the equation, such as how you came to be wise or strong or rich. A little later in 1 Corinthians, Paul will ask them, chapter 4, verse 7, for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Who makes you different from another? God. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? Don't have a good answer for that one. When God is factored into the equation, there is no place for human boasting, no place for the wise to boast of their wisdom, no place for the strong to boast of their strength, no place for the rich to boast of their riches. If God is in the equation, the only thing to boast about is knowing Him. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. If God's in the equation, it looks like loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness matter more than wisdom, strength, and riches. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's Paul's summation of Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, and the way he concludes our passage today, it's 1 Corinthians 1, 31. As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. To remind you of the context of 1 Corinthians, they were bickering, splintering into factions, the party of Paul versus the party of Apollos versus the party of Cephas. So Paul reminded them that we don't do things the way the world does. We're not trying to win the world's game, so we are not playing by the world's rules. We do things God's way, which, oh, by the way, God's way seems pathetic and ridiculous to the world. He just made that point in 1 Corinthians, picking it up at verse 22 of Nos, and let him glory, kaukasto, are exactly the same in Jeremiah 9:24 and 1 Corinthians 1:31. You say, okay, Chris, not sure why I should care. They're different grammatical forms of the same word, the Greek verb for boasting, kaukaomai. A word that is used a total of 38 times in the New Testament, 25 of them being in 1 and 2 Corinthians. That is way out of proportion. Two-thirds of its uses are in those two letters to that one church. Kind of tells you boasting was more than a little bit of a problem there at Corinth. Which is why Paul addresses it with brutal clarity in our passage, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that no one has anything to boast of before him. Which puts us all on a level playing field. Bill Gates' money sets him way apart from me in worldly terms. Stephen Hawking's brain sets him way apart from me in worldly terms. Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson's muscles set him way apart from me in worldly terms. But we are all on equal footing before God. If any or all of us are going to get to God, it will be through Christ crucified. Bill Gates can't buy his way there. Stephen Hawking can't think his way there. Dwayne Johnson can't force his way there. So if that's true, and it is, how do we get there? How do we get to God? That question is also answered in our text. And in conclusion, we'll focus on it because it's easy to miss. Got a relatively low profile in our passage whose main message is God's topsy-turvy approach leaves nobody anything to boast of. Clear enough. No capacity of ours, not our brains, not our power, not our wealth, not our anything brings us to God. That's what it's not. But what is it? What does bring us into relationship with God? That question is answered in eight words. The opening eight words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. He is God, the one in whose presence no flesh should glory, and of him you are in Christ Jesus. That's pretty bare bones translation, the phrase of him, meaning he's the cause, he's the reason. ESV and NIV say, because of him you are in Christ Jesus. New American Standard says, by his doing you are in Christ Jesus. The NET Bible says, he's the reason you have a relationship with Christ Jesus. All saying the same thing a little bit differently. Of him you are in Christ Jesus. By his doing you are in Christ Jesus. He's the reason you are in Christ Jesus. This is just the other side of the coin we've been talking about. That nobody has anything to boast of before him. We're not the reason we're in relationship with him. Well, if we're not the reason, what is? Who is? He is. He's the reason. It's his doing. Let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the problem of factions in the church. Some of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas. And I used the example of well-known theological debates about election, predestination, foreknowledge, etc. And the names associated with those disputes, Calvin and Arminius. And I said, I am an Arminian, not a Calvinist, which is an accurate statement. However, it does not mean what many people think it means, because many people never get beyond general impressions like Calvinists believe God chooses you and Arminians believe you choose God. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 all by itself is enough to sink that version of Arminianism. It is his doing that you are in Christ.